Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Knowing that ultimately it's God who does the healing, Dr. Medici acts as the maestro, orchestrating a person's health through right timing and right therapies, using traditional, natural, alternative, and spiritual practices. Dr. Medici says it's time for people to wake up to their innate potential to heal and to be given a doctor who can orchestrate that healing. Dr. Medici is currently working toward his PhD in biochemistry at Long Beach University, with additional study in acupuncture, kinesiology, and quantum medicine. He's the curriculum director of the Santa Monica Shiatsu School and the clinic director at the Premier Center in Santa Monica, where he treats many famous names in Hollywood under nationally recognized Premier Labs owner and CEO Dr. Robert Marshall. Got a health question? Ask Dr. Medici live today on Straight Talk on Health. And now, here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. Okay, I've got the show for you today. Put on your caps, because you're going to have to reach deep. But if you can get what I'm trying to give you for this show, it's worth all the other shows combined. It truly is. That day, that unfortunate day that you walk into a medical office and you're told that an organ, a collection of cells called organs, your lung, your liver, your kidney, your spleen, your bone marrow, your brain, that day you walk into an office and you're told that that organ has an irreversible disease, a chronic degenerative progressive disease, and there's nothing you can do. You can manage it. You can medicate it. You can give it palliative holistic therapy. You can do all sorts of things, but you can't stop it because it's chronic degenerative. Well, in 60 minutes, I'm going to give you an insight into that statement that people hear far too often that simply represents a gross misinterpretation by your doctors of the reality of the cell, that there's a gap. And again, we're not going out on the fringe here. This isn't some conspiratorial, holistic paradigm I'm trying to give to you. I'm trying to give to you an insight in the gut of science, and that insight is there is a gap between what your pathologist, the scientist that studies your cell under the microscope, and your medical doctor that talks to the public. There is a gap between what those two bodies of knowledge understand about in vivo, in other words, the reality of your cell. You got to get that one. Today's driver, today's contention is those of you who are told very often that you have a chronic degenerative progressive illness. You're in renal failure. You're in some stage of cirrhosis. Your brain is going senile. Your heart just can't put out the energy anymore to pump your blood. Whatever organ represented by a cell, a collection of cells, is no longer doing its job, and you're being told that this is irreversible and progressive, and there's not a lot you can do. Again, the driver here. There's a pathologist looking at the cell under different types of microscopes, looking for different sorts of pictures. And that has to translate to the doctor that talks to you. The gap between those two realities is enormous. And that gap accounts very often for gross misrepresentation of your potential to heal. That's a big statement. So let's begin here. Let's put on your scientific caps, those of you who will take the time to do that. Think of a cell as a grape. And that grape has a skin. And inside the soft spot, which in the cell is the cytoplasm. So the skin of the grape is your cell membrane. The guts of the grape is your cytoplasm. And in the center, you have your genetic material, your DNA. Again, in that seed, in the grape, is the chromosome, which is a string of genes And those genes, if we break them down, are just strands of DNA, nucleotide sequences. Now, that collection of grapes on the vine, or that collection of cells, is an organ. And that's easy to understand. When you're told you've got a disease that's destroying an organ, it simply means that some collection of stressors, some consignment of free radicals, enemies to the cell, things that attack it, poke holes in it. Think of the cell of the grape, thousands of different types of pins poking holes into the cell, and the cell is bleeding. And that blood, the guts of the grape, the cytoplasm of the cell, when it goes out into the intercellular space, immune system cells see it. Macrophages. Different other forms of immune system cells. And those macrophages especially, but it could be a lymphocyte, but it could be a neutrophil. But we'll focus on the macrophage, an immune system garbage man, patrolling the spaces in between your cells and looking for any intracellular gut spewing out in between the cells. When that alarm signal goes off in the cell, we begin the inflammatory process. Hundreds of other types of chemicals are produced, and lots of shifts occur around these damaged cells. When that happens, it's sequenced by the deposition of fibrin in between the cells. So the cells, in response to the aggressive stressor, start laying down through the fibroblast scar tissue. Scar tissue is just a collection of fibrin. So that fibrin starts to scar the tissue. And this is the beginning of what your pathologist will start to call fibrosis. In the beginning, you may just have a symptom. This may lead to a more serious symptom. A more serious symptom. And what are these symptoms stemming from? Well, the inflammatory process in the cell and the deposition of the fibrin begins to interfere with cell function. The cell can not do, it no longer does what it needs to do. Or the tissue inflames and pain sensors trigger up in the brain and you feel some form of a symptom. That symptom is either the cell not doing its job, or pain receptors responding to the inflammation. When we say inflammation, we mean there's lots of pain-causing chemicals secreted in the inflammatory response. So whether it's some loss of function in the cell or whether it's the beginning of the pain response, you know something's wrong, you go to the doctor. The doctor may send you for biopsy. If you go to biopsy and then they see underneath the microscope, damaged cells. And that's a whole story we're going to get into in a few minutes. Then that pathologist sends a note back to your doctor. And that note may say moderate inflammation, early stage fibrosis, mid-range fibrosis, advanced fibrosis, or irreversible fibrosis. But you see, that's really not what they say. They don't tell you prognosis, not from the standpoint of the scientist. The scientist may have a whole different version of whether you can turn these various stages around. But there is a misunderstanding at that point from the pathology report to the patient, and we'll get into that. So there you are with your symptom. Your symptom's more serious. They're telling you perhaps this organ is done. You have a chronic progressive disease. You send a piece of your flesh to a scientist. A scientist looks at it, sends it to other scientists. They look at it. They write a pathology report. That report, all too often, is just a summation of findings. And your medical doctors very often don't know what the pathologist really sees. It's not your medical doctor's job. And the pathologist may be summing up what they see. And in between the medical doctor not really seeing what's going on, the pathologist perhaps summing up what the pathologist is seeing, they take a ballpark bet very often on the future of your organ. So this line between reversible and irreversible is very thin. It's not given to you that way for a reason I'll get into, but nonetheless, that line can be very, very thin. All right. Let's say you reject the claim. Let's say you refuse to accept that that organ's going to die, that you're not going to lose your kidney, that you're going to get the function back in your lung, that you're going to improve the ejection fraction of the heart, that you're going to pull yourself back out of intermittent senility. Let's say you do that. I want to buffer your decision with reality. And that reality is pack a lunch. Pack a lunch. Old school saying. If you think you're going to turn a chronic degenerative progressive illness around, it's going to take you 2 years, 5 years, 10 years. I have seen it happen, but I have never seen it happen to this day, being the prodigal son of many a famous doctor from here to there to here to there, doing much myself with people holistically. I have never once, well, a few times over two decades, seen people turn chronic degenerative progressive illnesses around in less than 3 to 4 to 5 to 10 years. So if you've ever made that decision in your life not to accept a terminal diagnosis for an organ, okay? So I'm not talking about terminal cancer. Talking about when they tell you your kidney's going or your liver's going, and there's just some fibrotic progressive illness. You have to understand that if you want to approach that holistically, feeding your organ all the goodness in holistic medicine to help your organ figure out how to heal itself, because that's really what happens. If you make that choice, you're going to spend a decade doing it. And I've never seen anyone succeed at it. And yes, I have seen people bring their kidneys out of a terminal situation. I have seen people return their livers to health. I have seen people reverse senility. I have seen people who were told they couldn't breathe, breathe again. I've seen people who were told their hearts were headed down the slippery slope, strengthen the heart, increase the ejection fraction, and go on another 10, 15 years with a healthy heart. I have seen people do these things. I have never seen it in less than extreme, dramatic, deep commitments to their health. So if you're one of the lucky ones, one of the few, fantastic. But don't be disillusioned when you get these heavy diagnoses, these heavy prognoses in the medical community. You, as an active, successful professional, refuse to accept these dire prophecies. And yes, you take the spill into holistic medicine, and then in 6 months, throw your hands up. It didn't work. That's ridiculous. It's ignorant. It's myopic. It's short-sighted. And if you're being led by any holistic practitioner into thinking you're supposed to see these drastic shifts over 6 months, really and truly, you're being misled. Enough with that. Let's get to some hard stuff. Did you know that there is an NCCD, that's a committee of scientists, And the NCCD stands for the Nomenclature Committee on Cell Death. The NCCD. I'm going to give you some information from a commission of scientists called the NCCD. That's the National Committee for Cell Death. Yes, we have consortiums of scientists that sit around a table to discuss, to debate, to clarify, to delineate what cell death means. We don't know when a cell is truly dead very often. And sometimes we do. If that cell is dead, 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 then shy of God's miracle, that cell is not coming back. But we have committees of scientists that are groping for delineations as to when a cell has gone to the irreversible stage and how you can tell. And that's because it's not clear. Again, important point, soon, later, we're going to go into the difference between seeing in a biopsy things you don't want to see, things that are not suggestive of a good future, and the gap between that and whether or not you can regenerate the organ anyway in lieu of sections of it that are dead. You've got to understand there's lots of nuances, and these nuances are worth your inquiry because you are drinking the Kool-Aid often enough when you're being told there's nothing you can do. Now, the NCCD has formulated a first round of recommendations in 2005. Since then, the field of cell death research has continued its expansion, and significant progress has been made up and new to put death modalities into a finer perspective. The NCCD provides a forum in which names describing distinct modalities of cell death are critically evaluated, and recommendations on their definition and use are formulated, hoping that a non-rigid, yet uniform, nomenclature to facilitate the communication among scientists and ultimately accelerating the pace of discovery. This study continues the updated NCCD guidelines. Note the statement, hoping that a non-rigid, flexible because the line across which a cell can come back or can't come back is not clear. Well, sometimes it is, and that's not the point of this show. It's when sometimes it isn't, and you're told to forget it, to hang it up, to go home, sit on a couch, and continue to vegetate, because if you do, you're doing what the doctor told you to do. And since there's nothing to do, enjoy your life while your body rots. If your doctor tells you that in his 30 or 40 years he has not seen a regeneration of a tissue, it may be because every person that doctor tells to go home and sit on a couch listens to that doctor. Or it may be those people who simply try to beat the system, rebuke the prognosis, heal the injury. They won't take death of an organ for an answer. Go home, give an acupuncturist or a nutritionist or a chiropractor or a holistic medical doctor 6 months of time, energy, and money, and then throw up their hands. And that's the same person that ends up going back to the doctor, feeling like they've been misled now by their holistic practitioner, revealing to the doctor, yes, you were right in the first place because that holistic model didn't work, and they've only given it 6 months. Suppose your holistic practitioner told you to move. That's right. Suppose your holistic practitioner told you to do things that were radical, that right off the bat, rather than fall into that place they don't want to fall into, that moment where, as a holistic practitioner, you tell a client things they don't want to hear. Suppose they told you, look, to beat this multiple sclerosis, you have to move. You have to sleep in the earth. You have to fix all the infections in your teeth. You have to do an hour and a half of yoga every single day, stretch therapies. You have to really drastically change your diets. Suppose you were given a model. Suppose that person, that holistic doctor gave a poor prognosis to, that biopsy said your cells are dead and they're not coming back. Suppose the holistic practitioner that patient went to, suppose they were told to do all these drastic things. And suppose they were told it would be 2 to 5 to 10 years before your body would get its place back. That's the reality. Without that reality, do you understand, even when people go holistic, they end up back to their medical doctor. And then they're basically told, you see, I told you, that stuff doesn't work, so just get used to it. So in summary, then, you've got two responses to prognoses that are not friendly. Response one is you just listen to your medical doctor, sit on a couch, and vegetate. You will fulfill the doctor's prophecy. Level two is you go out and you play around with the array of holistic practitioners out there, chiropractors, acupuncturists, naturopaths, etc., and you end up being inadvertently deceived into thinking you're going to get big results when you've got to pack the lunch. So you end back up back to your medical doctor. So what's the word then that goes around? When you get the biopsy, when they try to give you a sense of whether or not you can regenerate an organ, the word's going to be bleak. It's going to be through the experience of the doctor that there's not a lot you can do about it because they've never seen anybody do anything about it. You got to understand right from the beginning you're being misled. Okay, so what is the pathologist really looking for then? What is the pathologist, the guy that does the biopsy, looking for when they look into the microscope? Remember, they're looking at a collection of cells. There's three things they're going to look for. One's called apoptosis. 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 The other's called autophagy. Now, you're going to have to put on your scientific thinking caps here. I'm going to use technical words. Again, you can always listen to this show again at straighttalk.cc, and I hope you do, because it's worth learning these words, because this is what your pathologist is looking for. Apoptosis. That's a form of cellular adaptation. It's a different looking cell. They look for signs of autophagy. They look for signs of necrosis. Apoptosis is a term used to define a dying cell. The cell looks like it's in the process of dying because of the way it looks under the microscope. And they're going to look for certain things in the cell. For instance, some cells, like the cells in the glomerulus of your kidney, have pseudopods. They have hands that come out from the cell. And those hands wrap around capillaries, and they pull from the capillaries, this is in the kidney now, all the stuff they want to pull out of your blood, so they filter the blood. So if you have a cell in the kidney, in the glomerulus, that has a pseudopod, and there's retraction of the pseudopod, that pseudopod hand, the hand, pulls back so that it can't grasp all the poison from the blood as it filters your blood. If your pathologist sees retraction of the pseudopod, that's apoptosis. And that's a sign that your cell is dying. They write that down. Then they look at the size of the seed, the size of the nucleus of the cell in question. So let's say they want to know if a lung cell is dying. They look into the nucleus of that cell, of the alveolar cell, in the lung, in this case, and they look to see if the nucleus is getting smaller. Reduction of nuclear volume. Reduction of cellular volume. If the volume of the cell, you know what that means? It means that the grape is drying out. The grape's becoming the raisin. If they see the hand of the cell retract, if they see the grape becoming the raisin, they say there are signs of apoptosis, and that is prognostic of cell death. And even if they go that far, do you get it? If they even get that far in the pathology report, if they tell you how many cells are apoptotic, if they tell you to what degree is the pseudopod retracting, if they tell you how great is the reduction in cellular volume, in other words, how many grapes have become raisins? Is the grape in the first stage of the raisin, the second stage, or is that grape clearly a dried out raisin? Do you think the pathologist is going to do that? And even if he did, do you think your medical doctor is going to read that? And even if he did, don't you understand? You must understand that the medical doctors are busy. This is not, in a sense, their job. So you, the patient, are falling between the cracks. Because early stage apoptosis is quite reversible. Here's another definition of apoptosis. Minor modification of cytoplasmic organelles. That means in a cell, you have little compartments, little sub-offices that all work in harmony to produce the cell's function, to repair the cell. You've got the ribosome. You have the endoplasmic reticulum. You have the mitochondrial outer and inner membrane. You've got the nucleus where the DNA is. You've got vacuoles. You've got lysosomes. You've got all sorts of things inside that factory we call the cell. When the pathologist looks at the cell and starts to see that the cell's little subunits are doing different things. They're looking different. They're adapting. They're not looking normal. There's some change in their morphology or the way they look under the microscope, including the electron microscope. The pathologist will say, this is apoptosis. Then there's something called blebbing. A bleb, a plasma membrane bleb. They call this apoptosis also. You know what a bleb is? If you think of that big amoeboid cell, or you think of the grape, if the grape started to surround part of the inside of itself and push it out, outside of the cell, if the grape started to push the part of the grape it didn't want outside itself, it would create a bleb, an encapsulation through which this is accomplished. A bleb is the cell identifying a part of itself that's diseased, that it doesn't want. It encapsulates it and starts to push it out. We call that a bleb. If the pathologist sees a bunch of blebs, if they see a bunch of retraction of pseudopods, if the cell has that, if they see reduction of the cellular and nuclear volume, if they see minor modification of these little subunits in the cell, if they see engulfment of these cells by phagocytes, in other words, if they see your immune system starting to eat these cells, in all these cases, they'll say apoptosis, which they define as the original term to define a type of cell death with specific morphological features. Wow. Did the pathologist say that all of these findings are there? Did the pathologist say that only two of them are there? Did the pathologist say that this apoptosis, cell death, is in stage one? Just a little retraction of a pseudopod, just a little shrinking of the cellular volume, just very minor modification of the organelles, just two blebs instead of 30 blebs, and no engulfment rather than two engulfments by phagocytes. Did they define the degree of apoptosis? When they're looking at the cell, They're seeing it. They could tell you right there, if you were there, if you paid your own famous pathologist to sit down with your organ and look at their electron microscope and tell you exactly what's going on, I kid you not, you just might get a completely different answer. Perhaps not at Kaiser, when the medical doctor is busy, when the medical doctor doesn't really even get this information from the pathologist. Pathology is fun for pathologists. So they love to look at this stuff, but that doesn't mean they like to write it all down. That's the bureaucracy. It's the baloney. It's what they don't really want to do. Do you want to write up reports on what you see? Nobody wants to write reports. So why would the pathologist? No, they sum them up. And then those reports are interpreted by the medical doctor. And then the medical doctor's busy. And then the medical doctor never sees anything change anyway, because everybody just listens to what the medical doctor says and goes home and vegetates on a couch. And even the ones that are strong-willed, fight the diagnosis and the prognosis, go out and have some nutritionist or otherwise tell them, don't worry about this, what they said was an irreversible lung condition or kidney condition. You give this 3-6 months, you'll be fine. And after that, they throw their arms up. They feel like they've been misled. They go back to the medical doctor. What a mess. You see my point? I hope you see my point. I really do for your sake. There is a huge gap between the pathologist and the medical doctor. And guess what? Nobody's getting criticized here. Nobody. All they tell you in your holistic schools is be a great holistic practitioner. Go out there and change the world. And lots of well-intentioned ones want to. They didn't plan on 2 to 3 to 5 to 10 year relationships with people who are sick. They didn't plan on that. And your medical doctors, they're busy enough. So we're not pointing the finger. We're illuminating cracks, holes in the wall that nobody's seeing. Here's another wonderful term that the pathologist is looking for in the cell. Autophagy. A-U-T-O, like automobile, phagy, P-H-A-G-Y, phagy, P-H-A-G-Y, like phagocytosis, autophagy, self-eating, cannibalism. Did you know that your cells are cannibals? I don't know who made them cannibals. I don't know what gave them that intelligence. I'll let you fill in the blanks on that, but guess what? If the inside of your cell looks like it's not doing the cell much good, the cell starts to eat itself. It's as if you got an infection in your arm. The infection was causing you problems, and you decided to eat your own infection. That's what the cells do. It's called autophagy. Autophagic cell death defines cell death occurring with cannibalism. Now check this out. This is so big. It's so big and it's just so beautiful. Though it may misleadingly suggest a form of cell death, it often promotes cell survival. Listed there in pathology books, collecting dust in the basements of fluorescent lit libraries all over the United States and the world are statements like this that nobody's thinking about. Autophagic cell death, so autophagy, where the cell cannibalizes itself, is something the pathologist looks at under the microscope. May be a misleading term to suggest a form of death occurring, as this process often promotes cell survival. Do you realize that one of the 3 or 4 things that pathologists look for to determine and make a terminal prognosis for a cell, meaning your organ's dying, face it, may simply represent an attempt on part of the cell to regenerate itself. Sometimes it does, and sometimes it doesn't. But who's talking to you about the difference between the two? If you look into a cell and that cell is cannibalizing itself, that cell may simply be eating itself to regenerate. That's huge. Do you know when you see that? Do you know when you often see autophagy? In holistic medicine, do you know when you see autophagy? During a fast. Cell biology a few years ago. Look it up yourself. Right there, sitting on some lonely page in a very popular magazine for scientists, Cell Biology, that the public can purchase, that the public can subscribe to, is this wonderful article on if you deprive a cell of its nutrition, the cell will start to digest itself. But for some reason, that people, scientists, who don't respect God and nature can't understand, when the cell digests itself, it'll digest what it doesn't need. In other words, if you starve a cell, it'll eat its own garbage and spit the rest out. That's huge. That's exciting. I can't imagine you listening to this broadcast right now and not jumping up and down because this is so absolutely fascinating. And it's the guts of science, and you're listening to it. And get to the website again, straighttalk.cc, and tell your friends. Make your friends sit down when they're given these bleak prognoses and at least consider this show. I want you to do that, and I want you to write into the show. I want you to comment, and I want you to tell me you did it, because that's the way we communicate. Otherwise, I don't know what you're doing. And lots of you do write in and keep writing in. Tell me you're telling your friends. It's not just you out there. It's your neighbors. You see, the point of all of this, the reason I started becoming what I became, is because they just told me in chiropractic school, they just told me in acupuncture school, they just told me to do what you learn to do and go out there and it would all work out. Well, it didn't work out. I was valedictorian of my chiropractic school. I didn't finish acupuncture school, but I got a darn good year and a half. And nutrition? I've been taught by the best. And I've practiced for 2 decades. But here's the bottom line. I got into this stuff that I'm giving to you because when people come in with heavy stuff, they told me I'm losing my lungs. They told me my legs are disappearing. And you have to apply the gift of holistic medicine to teach the body to heal itself. It's not some symptomatic herb symptom response. It's not some simple walk in the park. It's radical. So you got to reach deeper into the scientific journals to see what's real because you don't want to mislead people. You don't want to mislead yourself. If you've ever been misled, do you think the person that's misleading you really wants to mislead you? Of course they don't. 50% of the time they're misleading themselves. The line between reality and fake optimism, the line between reality and foolishness is found in hard science. It truly is. So there's your pathologist looking for autophagy, and he may or may not be able to distinguish between autophagy in the interest of regenerating the cell. Suppose the biopsy the patient does, unknown to the medical doctor who orders the biopsy, unknown to the pathologist who gets the biopsy and reads it, unknown to both of them is the fact that that patient may have been out there doing health things, doing radical health things, for 2 to 3 years. Don't you think you're going to see a little bit of autophagy? You bet you are. You know, one example of this that I see all the time is when people have hepatitis C. And they're told they have terminal, you know, they have a terminal problem. They get hep C. Their liver becomes fibrotic. They're told they're going to lose their liver. Usually they've already done interferon. Remember Lloyd Wright, who I brought on the show, cured his own hep C? You bet he did. He did it himself, to himself. Lloyd's still around and doing his thing. In 1998, that's how many years ago? 16 years ago? 14 years ago, he was told, hang it up. This is after he failed interferon. He walks today. He lives today. He doesn't have symptoms of hep C. He doesn't even have hepatomegaly. He has basically no fibrosis in his liver. He was supposed to be dead 6-8 years ago. Well, guess what? As he was healing his hep C, his liver enzymes were skyrocketing. as people heal hepatitis C, which is a fibrosis of the liver. Don't think your organ's any different. Enzymes go up that indicate inflammation. That is a consequence of autophagy. To heal a cell, the cell has to cannibalize the part of itself it doesn't want. I'm going to say that again. To heal a cell, the cell has got to cannibalize the part of itself it doesn't want. That's science. Now, to increase the rate at which the cell cannibalizes itself is what happens in holistic medicine. And if you measure those markers of inflammation, which in this case are the liver enzymes, you can easily, as a medical doctor, I hope they're listening, be misled into thinking that that inflammatory phase is a bad thing when it's a good thing. When Donald Kelly cured cancer, and he did, look his name up, he cured it by teaching people to heal themselves. So he stimulated the cure, I should say. And he had lots of successes that Nicholas Gonzalez, an MD out of Cornell, is still working with 20, 30 years later, that Nicholas has given his life to, that the National Cancer Institute has sanctioned as a valid therapy. Because Dr. Gonzalez doesn't make false claims. He doesn't lie. He doesn't exaggerate. He tells you he can help you or he can't. But Kelly's work, like Gonzalez's work, is at least rooted in enough science so that even conservative factions of science will agree. Well, here's another one you got to add. And they're doing it. Self-cannibalism, autophagy, can promote the survival of the cell. So they determine this when they see massive vacuolization of the cytoplasm. If they look at your cell and they see these big storage bins, what your cell does as it cannibalizes itself is it creates these big vacuoles, these storage bins, so that it can shove into the storage bin all the garbage it wants to throw out of the cell. That's how it ends up killing itself in a disease, or that's how it heals itself. Your pathologist better have a better sense of that. Little or no uptake by phagocytic cells. It's called autophagy. It's a sign of it. It means if the cell's going to digest itself and then throw out its digested material, it doesn't need a cell from the outside to eat it. A phagocyte, which is an immune system cell, generally a macrophage, will come in and eat the cell after the cell becomes useless. Perhaps sometimes when the cell is semi-useless. But if the cell is doing its own internal cleanup, the pathologist knows that the cell may be in self-cannibalism and not depending on the other route of cell destruction. Complicated in there. Either way, from apoptosis to autophagy, we go. Now, the next one is necrosis. And I'm going to skip necrosis. But are you starting to get the point? Because I got some really good things to say. And I think these are really good things to listen to. So, let's go back to the beginning. You're depressed because you don't feel well. You go to the doctor. They tell you your lung is done. You're in renal failure. Your kidney is cirrhotic. You're going senile because your brain is going up like one big fibrotic mess. Inflammation has left you basically scarred. The cells are starting to die. Your MD sends the cells to a pathologist via a biopsy. The pathologist is looking for retraction of pseudopod, reduction of cell volume, minor modification of cytoplasmic organelles, plasma membrane blebbing, engulfment by phagocytes, lack of lots of vacuoles in the cytoplasm, meaning autophagy, apoptosis, literal no uptake by phagocytic cells. And then your pathologist writes a report, and that report gets to your medical doctor. It's a condensed report. It's a report that's barely read. It's a report that has to be interpreted, one, by your pathologist, two, by your medical doctor, and then three, by you. You ever play that game? You take a line of like 30 people, one person at one end says something, like tells a story. By the time it gets to the other end, it has nothing to do with what anybody said in the beginning. Welcome to medicine. That's what you suffer from. So you go home depressed because you didn't get a good response, you didn't get a good prognosis, and your MD says, hey, there's nothing you can do, Charlie. So Charlie just sits in front of the TV and sulks, eats potato chips, goes to McDonald's. He wants to enjoy himself. His organ's going down anyway. Life is lost. He's not captain of the football team anymore. He's 65 years old. Things didn't work out too well anyway. What the heck? I'm on my way. So he doesn't do anything. So, of course, he's going to fulfill the MD's prophecy. Then there's Joe. Joe says, I'm not going to listen to this baloney. I'm going to go out and fix this. Joe finds some chiropractic nutritionist, some acupuncturist, some naturopath, some holistic MD, anybody that says there's hope. And so they go on in, and after 6 months, when things are about the same, instead of being told, look, Joe, this is 2 to 5 to 10 years. Look, Joe, I asked you last week to give up sugar. You're still on sugar. We're fooling around here. Don't waste your money. Instead of those languages being used, what we're doing is compromising ourselves continually. One, because we don't want to fight with our patients, with our clients. See, holistic medicine gets caught because they don't want those awkward moments where you say, do it or don't waste your money. And on that basis, most people who are told and given bad prognosis for an organ go back. And that's the cycle you're caught in. If you've got that, you've got so much understanding. I could go on. I'd love to. I can't. There's never enough time for a show like this. So eventually, one thing we're going to do is for my members, for those of you who purchase subscriptions, I'm building out on a club. I've got about 500 people that have purchased subscriptions. You're going to be given another level of understanding because if you've been wise enough to get these shows, I've got 75 of them, okay, you're going to be wise enough to start to listen to my webinars. And I'm going to get into this stuff more deeply. I want to give you not rhetoric, not illusion. I want to give you a chance to really learn the real stuff, and this is the real stuff. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. This is Straight Talk on Health. Get to the website, straighttalk.cc. I've got about 10 minutes left, and I'm going to give you, I may have to do a part two on this. I didn't promise I'll do a part two, but I may have to. What do you do about it? What's really the core fundamental, most essence level response to being told that a piece of you is dying and there's nothing you can do about it? It's called the stem cell. The stem cell. Not, and here's the good news, not the stem cell harvested from little babies. We don't have to do that because you with the bad diagnosis, make your own stem cells. Yes, you do. Stem cells can be harvested from your femur, from your ileum in your pelvis. Your body makes stem cells. What is a stem cell? A stem cell is what we call a pluripotent cell. It just means if you take a stem cell and it's floating around in your blood, it's going to find whatever part of your body needs it. It's going to plant itself in that diseased, decayed, necrotic, autophagic, apoptotic organ, and it's going to build new tissue like you were a baby. This is the big hit now. We're trying to make stem cells and inject them into sick, dying organs. We're going to succeed at it too. Allopathic Western medicine, I promise you, is going to succeed at this. So those of you that think holistic medicine is going to take the lead, you need to think again. Because science, Western medicine, allopathic medicine, they're going to do miracles over the next two decades. They're just out of their old paradigm. They're not going to do antibiotics. They're going to genetically engineer drugs. They're not going to do surgery someday. They're going to clone your organs and put them back in. And you're going to do it. Yes, you are. Because when you don't have a choice, and there's a fix there, you see, when we can give you an antibiotic for that life-threatening pneumonia, you're not going to do herbs. And when we can pull out a piece of your heart, clone it, and put it back in, you're going to do it. So please understand, stem cell therapy is coming. It's not perfected yet, but it's on the way. This is what fascinates me, and I want it. Those of you who are God-fearing, I want this to fascinate you. In your sacrum, that's your backbone, the triangular bone at the base of your spine. Sacrum, derived from the word sacred, sacred, that every culture understood did something magical, produces stem cells, just like any bone with marrow. And if the body is trained, if the tendons are stretched, if the blood is cleaned, if the scars are remediated, meaning the adhesions are taken out, listen to my shows. If the negative emotions are purged, the memories of the pains you suffered in childhood, the abandonment, the physical abuse, the verbal abuse, the molestation, all of it, the disappointment, the starvation, the whatever. If you purge the emotions, if you stretch the tendons, if you clean the blood, if you work out the adhesions, if you open the bioelectric field of the body, the sacrum starts to soften. The sacrum softens. Okay? It softens. As it softens, it will start to enhance the rate at which it produces its own stem cells. Take that to the bank. That's huge. Now, we know the sacrum produces stem cells, just like the ileum. Just like all marrow produces stem cells. We tend to harvest our stem cells in adults for passive therapy, meaning your patient, your client, they don't do a thing for themselves. They just walk in and say, help me. We take their stem cells from the ileum, the iliac crest. We take it from the long bone of the femur. They don't have to do a thing. We take it, we reproduce it, we inject it, we send it into the blood, we move the stem cell in hope of regenerating tissue. We already do that. But we know the stem cells are produced in the sacrum also. What we're leaving out, because we're just naive, is that if you cleanse and stretch, et cetera, the sacrum softens. It begins to pump. It becomes a pumping mechanism that helps stimulate the electric field up the spine. And there's no getting away from, if your sacrum is succeeding at this, so are your cranial rhythms. So are your cranial bones. See my shows on cranial bones. The hypothalamus and the pituitary, the crown of the brain, the director of the brain, begins to pump also. And the pumping in the sacrum talks to the pumping in the brain. And collectively, you begin to circulate an electrical field that enhances the production of the stem cell. If you added to that the other things you've done, what do you think is going to happen to that organ? If it's moderately apoptotic, if it's in autophagy, if it's moderately necrotic, how many cells are still viable, even if the biopsy's not such a great report? If you have a factory, and in that factory you have a bunch of workers, and those workers are all lying on the floor because they have the flu, because they have food poisoning, and you come by and look at the output of that factory, and the output is zero because all the workers are sick and on the floor, do you say that factory's dead? Well, that's what we do with your organs. We look at your renal clearance. We look at how fast your liver is filtering the blood. We check your memory. We do all sorts of organ function tests and say, well, if you don't put it out, it must be dying. Like we'd make that mistake with the factory, we make that with your organs. If those cells are truly dead, if you do have cells that are not going to regenerate, why can't we just increase the cellular output of the cells that are still alive? So if 100 cells out of a total of 100 cells, if 50 are dead, why can't we double the output of the other 50? Not if we go home and eat Taco Bell. Not if we have mythical holistic therapies. But in fact, if half of your cells were dead and the other half can be regenerated. And even the pathologist would agree that half of them we could regenerate, and we did. Every pathologist, every physiologist would tell you, yes, those other cells can increase their output and reduce symptomology and save you your organ. Why aren't we thinking that way? If you did nothing, if you didn't produce any stem cells, cite the last four things I just said. But if you want to take it all the way, make your own stem cells. Your body is designed to produce them. Your hypothalamus, your pituitary, parts of your brain on the other end are designed to produce chemicals. There's one called dynorphin, D-Y-N-O-R-P-H-I-N, dynorphin. It's in Guyton, Guyton's textbook of medical physiology. Dynorphin has 2,500 times the opiate-producing power of morphine. It's called dynorphin. Look it up if you think I'm just pulling this out. There's a miracle in you. And that miracle is a long-term, deep, supervised commitment. 2 years to 5 years to 10 years. And unless your cells have been burned to a crisp, plan on growing new, healthy tissue. I kid you not. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. This is Straight Talk on Health. Get to the website, straighttalk.cc. Buy the subscription. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Invite your family and friends to the show and learn about Dr. Medici through his website, straighttalk.cc. He'll give you the tools you need to save your health and prevent unnecessary surgeries and harmful drugs. And the best part? You can call in live with your health questions every week. For those of you still holding for Dr. Medici, stay on hold. He'll continue to answer calls for as long as it takes. He's dedicated to your ultimate healing. And remember, to contact his office for an appointment, call Rachel or Johanna at 310-320-1132. That's 310-320-1132. Join Dr. Medici next week at 10 a.m. for more Straight Talk on Health. This show and the information therein has not been evaluated by the FDA, and recommended products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. The information provided on this site is for informational purposes only and is not intended as a substitute for advice from your physician or other healthcare professional.